The history of rock and roll continues now with Three Dog Night.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
Dog Night and One, a song recalled by one of the original members of the group, Corey Wells.
I remember going to the material at the time, and we were picking songs for us, and One was a song Chuck brought in and said, I really like this song by this guy by the name of Nielsen, and I've never heard him. He says, well, most people haven't. He has this one album out, and he says, it was a song on it, and I really like it. He played it, and I said, hey, I really like it, too. Danny said, it's good, it needs a little arrangement, and it needs to be commercialized a little bit. So we decided to do it, and that was our first million seller.
Three Dog Night was formed in 1968 as a trio with three lead singers. They had trouble coming up with a name, but then inspiration struck.
Danny was going with a girl by the name of June Fairchild, who was an actress, and we were throwing around about three or four names at the time, and we had already recorded that first album without a name yet. And as a matter of fact, we were signed to the record company. We were playing with names like Tricycle and 6 Foot Three. And June said, how about Three Dog Night? We said, what? That doesn't make it. What does it mean, first of all, you know?
In Australia, Aborigines sometimes sleep with their dogs to keep warm. So a Three Dog Night meant an especially cold evening. Corey talked about their first number one record.
I was doing that song way before I ever was in Three Dog Night. And it took me three albums to get it done. Everybody kept saying, no, 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 no. And finally, the third album, they said, okay, let's go along with it. So finally, we recorded it. And that was our 2 million seller.
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea? What's all this crazy question they're asking me? This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see. Mama told me. Come. Mama told me not to come.
choking from the smell of stale perfume. And that cigarette you're smoking, I'll scare me half to death. Open up the window, sucker, let me catch my breath.
Mama told me not to come.
From the summer of 1970, Mama Told Me Not to Come, a song composed by Randy Newman. The next year, Three Dog Night released what became their all-time biggest hit. Corey Wells remembered the song that he didn't think they'd recorded very well.
It was written by a really talented man, Hoyt Axton. And he wrote the song a part of a child's radio show or a child's TV cartoon show. When that concept fell through for him, he started dispersing the songs in different directions. That song was one of them. Now, he came in with his guitar and came in with red, white, and blue golf shoes on. And he started singing the song, and I thought it was a fantastic idea. It just means happiness to everybody.
Oh,
Three Dog Night and Joy to the World. It sold more than 3.5 million copies in 1971, becoming ABC Records' best-selling single to that time. In a moment, more rock of the 70s, when the history of rock and roll continues. The history of rock and roll continues now with more rock bands of the 70s. This was the first white group ever signed by Motown Records. Temptations did it first, but in the spring of 1970, Get Ready belonged to Rare Earth, a group named after a Motown subsidiary label. They earned no less than 5 gold albums in the early 70s and were best known as a stunning in-concert band. 1 month later, another noteworthy live performer earned his first top 10 record. He'd been working as a gas company repairman when the Beatles' music finally got to him and convinced him to try making it as a singer. Record executive Jerry Moss talked about the man whose style was described as loving violence, Joe Cocker.
Well, the first time I heard Joe Cocker was when Denny Cordell brought in a record called With Little Help From My Friends. And that was truly an amazing record. And in 1969, he appeared at Woodstock and appeared in the film and became a world-famous personality. He then went on in 1970 on the Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour and created even a greater name for himself as one of the great white blues singers of all time. He was and is one of the most amazing and strongest and versatile artists on stage. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Oh, my baby, she wrote me a letter. I don't care how much I got to scan now. Oh, I
Joe Cocker and an old box top song, The Letter from the Spring of 1970. The next year, along came a singer from Scotland that one critic said sounded like he'd gargled with old razor blades. In 1971, the third biggest record of the year was by Rod Stewart.
You turned into a lover and mother. What a lover, you wore me out. All you did was wreck my bed, and in the morning kick me in the head. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. You led me away from home, 'cause you didn't wanna be alone. You stole my heart, I couldn't leave ya if I tried. Thank you.
Maggie May, a song that sold over 2.5 million copies and helped Rod Stewart win Best Male Vocalist in the 1971 Playboy poll. Next, another 70s group inspired by the three E's, Elvis, Everly's, and Eddie Cochran. They're next when the history of rock and roll continues. The history of rock and roll continues with Queen.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anyway the wind blows, doesn't really matter to me, to me. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on.
Just go.
Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody from January 1976. The same month, a rock record by a Boston group began its climb into the top 10, 3 years after it had been recorded. Aerosmith and Dream On, a song composed by their lead singer, Steve Tyler. It was a bleak December night in Boston as he lay for hours listening to the howling wind, his inspiration for the mood of Dream On. The song was recorded in an album 3 years before it became a hit in January 1976. And the next month brought a rock and roll phenomenon.
waiting. There's ringing in my ears and no one to relate to, save the sea. Who can I believe in? I'm kneeling on the floor. There has to be a force. Who do I call? The stars are out and shining, but all I really want to love, hold on to. Show me the way. Every day I want you. Show me the way, yeah. Well, I can't see no reason. You're living on your nerves when someone drops a cup. I'm swimming in a circle. I feel I'm going down. There has to be a force to play in my part. But someone thought of feeling, but all I really want to know, hold on to. Show me.
Peter Frampton and Show Me the Way from the album Frampton Comes Alive. Record executive Jerry Moss.
Signed Peter as part of Humble Pie in 1969 when he was 18 years old. He had success with Humble Pie, and then Peter decided he couldn't stay in the band. He needed to come up with his own music and his own ideas on a record. And so we embarked on a solo career with Peter, and it was a tough going for quite some time.
In 1976, Peter Frampton released his first live LP, which resulted in three hit singles, including Show Me the Way. The LP, Frampton Comes Alive, became the largest selling double album to that time, with sales ultimately topping 5 million copies. It cast a new light on Peter Frampton as a writer, producer, and live performer.
In concert, he's amazing. That audience is pleased. They always walk away from a Peter Frampton concert totally knocked out. It gives them a feeling of joy, feeling of closeness, and a marvelous feeling of what he is as a musician and as a performer. And I believe Peter's one of the most important guitar players that ever played a rock and roll lick.
Thank you. Shadows grown so long. Take
Peter Frampton and Baby, I Love Your Way from the album Frampton Comes Alive. Next, a group headed by two girls from Seattle when the history of rock and roll continues. The history of rock and roll continues with rock groups of the 70s. This is Jethro Tull. Jethro Tull and Living in the Past from November 1972. Again, Ian Anderson.
The peculiarity of Jethro Tull was that we didn't really take the blues that seriously. I mean, we weren't into it from the point of view of being faithful to the original style or intent of the American Negro blues artists who we obviously got the musical style from. We always did it a bit tongue-in-cheek, you see. Whereas there were groups like Fleetwood Mac and John Mayall and so on who took it really quite seriously.
Jethro Tull wasn't the only tongue-in-cheek rock group. There was another one, also named after non-existent members. Lead singer Tom Johnston talked about the first hit he wrote for the Doobie Brothers.
Listen to the music I wrote one night in my room in San Jose. And I really wasn't thinking anything special as far as the lyrics. I won't go to the lyrics. Musically, I was just peddling around with the guitar. I was just sitting there playing. And I just came up with this tune, chord-wise, progression-wise. And I liked the way the chord progression sounded, and I played it for the producer. I called him up immediately. I said, hey, I think this is going to do something.
Keep on getting ready for the moon.
Listen to the music from the Doobie Brothers, a group from San Jose which included no Doobies and no Brothers. Again, lead singer Tom Johnston.
China Grove, interestingly, was basically, the music part of it was written in the basement with John and I. We're just down there jamming. I had these chords, and I said, let's try this out. You know, and I said, I want to do something, you know, rock and roll, and I want it to be hard rock, you know. The lyrics got written around a piano lick that Billy Payne, who's with Little Feet, had later on overdubbed. He just happened to put in this one little lick, and the producer and I were joking about, sounds like a Oriental song. And so I wrote this song about a town in Texas, around San Antonio, named China Grove.
The Doobie Brothers and China Grove from 1973. Coming up, a group that sprang from two Detroit bands of the 60s, The Pack and Question Mark and the Mysterians. They're next when the history of rock and roll continues.